Turn with me, if you would, to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. This is such a wonderful book, this book of Daniel, full of wonderful stories and well-known accounts in the scripture. We've looked at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the burning fiery furnace. We've looked at Nebuchadnezzar's humbling conversion. The Lord dealt with him. Last Sunday, we looked at the handwriting on the wall and God's judgment on a man named Belshazzar, who represents this entire world outside of Christ. Today, we're going to look at the story of Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel in the lion's den. I'm sure most everybody has heard this story or heard of this story. And I want us to read it. This is what we're going to do. We're going to read the story. And I want us to see just what the story says. And come the end of this, we'll see if we can see the reason this story was written. What the picture is in this story. Our Lord recorded this for a very, very good reason. And I pray our Lord will open our eyes to see it. If you look back at chapter 5, verse 30, Daniel 5, verse 30 says, "In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old." So this man Darius is now the king of Babylon. It was Nebuchadnezzar, and then I don't know if there was anybody between him and his grandson. I don't know if his son took over, it doesn't say, but then it mentions his grandson, Belshazzar, and now this man, Darius, is king of Babylon. Chapter 6, verse 1 says, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage." King Darius set up this order of protection for himself. He set up 120 men who he named princes over the whole kingdom. And then he set up 3 men who he called presidents over the 120. And he made Daniel to be number 1 of those 3 presidents. So Daniel was the man that the king trusted the most. He was the king's closest confidant. This king loved Daniel and he favored Daniel. Darius very much loved and favored Daniel. Verse 3 says, "Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him." Because the king favored Daniel so much, these other 2 presidents and the 120 princes, they all got jealous. And they decided that they were going to find a fault in him to bring him down. And they examined him closely, very closely. but they couldn't find any fault. He was faithful to the king. They couldn't find any error. They were forced to say, I find no fault in this man. Does that sound familiar? You can go ahead and put the familiar cap on if you want to, but I'll just keep telling the story. Verse 5. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. They said, the only way that we're going to be able to convict him of anything, we can't find any fault in him. So the only way we can convict him of anything is if we bring him on trial for his strict obedience to his God. We're going to have to accuse his faithful obedience to God as blasphemy. We're going to have to make it so that we can say, what further need have we of any witnesses? His faithfulness to God is blasphemy against our law. We have a law. We have a law here. And he has broken our law. And he's worthy of death. We're going to have to make it so that we have no choice but to cry, kill him, kill him. Verse 6. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. They got together and they said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to make a law. It was a law of idolatry, but they said, we're going to make a law. It was a law of sin, but they said, we're going to make our own law here that says, all the kingdom, all of this kingdom, cannot do anything other than sin against God. Now, they didn't word it this way, but this is what they were doing. We're going to make a law that makes it so that every soul here cannot do anything but sin against God. You cannot worship and serve the Creator who is blessed forever. You have no choice but to worship and serve man. They said, what do you think of that, Darius? Everybody worships you. What do you think? 30 days. Nobody can worship or serve any other god or anything else besides you. Verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, and Darius said, yeah, that sounds good to me. I'll sign that. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. That's what God commanded his people to do, and that's what he did. Daniel was in his house 3 times a day, kneeling, bowing, worshiping his God. Daniel was in this kingdom of sin, yet without the sin of the kingdom. All right, I'll say that again. Daniel was in this whole kingdom of sin, yet without the sin of the whole kingdom. He knew not the sin that the whole kingdom had fallen into. Verse 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, The thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. They said, Didn't you sign a law that everybody has to serve you and worship you? And he said, Yes, the law has been signed and it cannot be undone. Verse 13. Then answered they and said before the king, That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Now, we're about to see this king in two lights, okay? We're going to see two different men in this king, two completely, totally different men on either side of Daniel, connected to Daniel on two totally opposite sides. Right now, this is what we see. Here is a man who is crying, What have I done? What have I done? I have sinned against Daniel. I am the cause. They said, Didn't you sign this? And didn't you say that whoever broke this man-made law that we came up with was going to have to go into the lion's den? Yes, I signed it. Wasn't it signed according to the law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be undone? Yes, it was. They said, Daniel is still worshiping God Almighty. And as soon as Darius heard that, he said, What have I done? I have sinned against Daniel. I'm the cause of everything that is about to come upon Daniel. Oh, wretched man that I am. Why have I done this? Why have I sinned against Daniel? Against Daniel and Daniel only have I sinned and done this evil in his sight. They said, Darius, you signed the decree. Thou art the man. Didn't you? What, isn't that your handwriting right there? Yes, it is. Thou art the man. You're the cause of this. Verse 14, Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. But he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. What was done was done. He couldn't undo it. He said, Oh, if I could just go back and undo that. But he couldn't do it. What was done was done. Verse 15. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. They said, You've done it, and it can't be undone. Verse 16, Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel. Now we're going to see this king, and this story is such a blessing to me. And I prayed about doing it like this, and I believe the Lord really blessed this to my heart. And I pray He'll cause us to see this. As we look at men in the Scriptures and we see types and pictures, no man is a perfect type. There's only one perfect type, and that's Christ Himself. But these things are written to show us the story, show us the purpose and the will of God. And in this, we're going to see a glorious truth concerning our eternal souls. Here is this other man that this king represents. Verse 16, "Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions." The king commanded and cast him into the den of lions. "Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." He will. He will. What a word. What a promise. What a command. Cast him in. Yes, the law has been signed. Yes, what's done is done. Yes, he cannot undo it. Cast him in. Cast him in. And as he went in, he said, "Your God, who you serve continually, he will deliver you. Your God, Daniel, will not suffer you to see corruption. And he will not leave you in there. Set your face like a flint and trust your God." Verse 17, read this slowly with me. "And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den." They rolled a stone in the way of the mouth of it, and they covered it up. "And the king sealed it." Who sealed it? The king sealed it. Who did this? The king did this. "He sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel." Amen. Amen. That the purpose, the king did this, he sealed it, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Now, flipping back to this other man that this king represents, flipping back to that first man, verse 18 says, "Then the king," this wretched, miserable sinner against Daniel, "he went to his palace and he passed the night fasting." He emptied himself. Oh, he said, "I'm an empty vessel. I'm an empty, weak vessel." It says, "Neither were instruments of music brought before him." There was no comfort. "And his sleep went from him." There was no rest. Verse 19 says, "Then the king arose very early in the morning." I kind of wonder if it was the first day of the week. "Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions." He might have been thinking, "Who's going to roll away the stone for me so I can see him?" "Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God," God's servant, "is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" Is thy God, whom you serve continually, able to deliver you from the lions? Did God do as he promised to do? Did salvation come? Is your God, whom you serve continually, able? Was he able? Did deliverance come? Verse 24. Pay attention to this one. "Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever." live forever. Live forever. Darius said, "What do you have to say to me?" He came with a lamentable voice saying, "What do you have to say to me, this sinner against you, after everything that I've caused you to endure? What do you have to say to me? After you endured the pit of the roaring lions because of me, it was all because of me. After I did this to you, what's your word to me? What is your word to me?" Daniel said, "Live forever." That's my word to you. Live forever. That's my response to the punishment for sin that you committed against me. That's the result to my enduring the repercussions of your sin. That's the result. Live forever. Verse 22. "My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." He said salvation was of the Lord. God did this. Salvation was of the Lord. He said, in what I just endured, judgment was met, the law was satisfied, your sin was removed, and God is well pleased. He said God was satisfied in this. Now, switching back to the great authority of the king. Verse 23. "Then was the king exceeding glad for him. He was well pleased in him. And in his sovereign authority, he commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den." Take him up, lift him up, highly lift him up. "Then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God." He believed in God for Darius. Darius said, "Yeah, that sounds good. Don't worship God, worship me." He believed in God. "And the king commanded," verse 24, "and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you." That's good, isn't it? Because of Daniel, this is what he wrote. Because of Daniel, who we'll just go ahead and acknowledge represents Jesus Christ. The high sovereign said, because of Christ, peace be unto you. Peace be multiplied unto you. Verse 26, "I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions?" Sounds like he was taught the same thing Nebuchadnezzar was taught. Exact same thing. Verse 28, "So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian." Now, you know, honestly, we just read the story at face value. I understand I made some comments along the way, but we just read the story at face value. And we don't need to go back over those verses and see the spiritual picture. That was plain as day, wasn't it? That's Christ. That's Christ. With that being said, I will just say, okay, I'm going to wrap this up. But I will just say, for anyone who did not see the true story in those lines, because many people don't, this is not a story of Daniel's resolve. This is not a story of Daniel's courage. This was not written for the purpose of glorifying man in any way, shape, or form. There's a terrible song in our hymnal. We have a song in our hymnal. Terrible. It's called Dare to Be a Daniel. It's terrible. Dare to Be a Daniel. This was not written to incite man's works for God. Oh, if we could all just be more like Daniel. Well, I want to be like Daniel. Daniel. And I'm not going to be like Daniel until I'm rid of this flesh. This was written to show us the substitution of Jesus Christ for the sin of His people. Our sin laid on Him. This was written to show us what Christ had to endure because of our sin against Him, and He endured it to the end. And because of that, God is satisfied with the punishment of our sin. If I could get one thing across to us today, it would be this. Rest in this. Find comfort in this. God is satisfied with the punishment for our sin. Yeah, but I'm such a sinner, and I know I ought to be punished for my sin. You were in Him. And God's satisfied. God is satisfied in Him. And through the condemning death of Christ, we get to live forever. We get to live forever. Eternal life. Eternal life. Through the condemnation of Christ for His people. That's what this story is about. That's what this story is about. That's what every story in the Scripture is about. All Scripture is concerning Jesus Christ. The saving, redeeming work of Christ for His sinful people. He was made to be sin and made to be under the law that He might redeem His people who all their lifetime were subject to bondage. The rulers and the princes. Isn't this what happened 2,000 years ago? The rulers and the princes. Who did this to Him? The rulers of the Jews, the princes of the Jews. They lied on Him. They didn't lie on me, in Him. Everything they accused Him of, I'm guilty of it. And thank God He opened not His mouth for us. But they lied on Him. And they blasphemed Him and they condemned Him. But He was obedient unto death. He went in. He went into death. He endured the roaring lions of hell and judgment and justice. And He conquered all of them. And He arose victoriously from that pit. Oh, the Father cried, deliver Him from the pit because I found a ransom. I found a payment. He arose victoriously from that pit and He is now seated high in the heavens. He's honored. He is glorified. And in the end, all of His enemies are going to perish in the very condemnation they sent Him to. Even so, amen. And thank God, every soul He endured that condemnation for, every soul He went into that lion's den for, is going to live and reign forever with Him. Let's bow to that. Let's just bow to that. Now, what happens at this point in the message? Do I turn it and say, what are you going to do with that? And are you going to accept that? And are you going to? No. We're going to bow to that. We're going to believe that. We're going to cling to that. My Lord and Savior endured it all, paid it all. Thank God for Jesus Christ. We're going to bow, believe, and cling to Daniel's God, to our God, to everybody's God, Jesus Christ. To him be all the glory forever. Amen.